Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And boy, it was fun in England, wasn't it, Rabbit?
Well, everything was fun except the weather, which really stank.
I am so happy to see the sun shining again.
Although there was one day when it was bright and sunny, and all of London, it seems, was stripped to the waist.
Yes.
In St. James's Park, and that was both boys and girls, it looked like. But other than that, it rained almost every day. It was kind of chilly. But we didn't care because we were having a great old time.
Yeah.
So how does the poem go? Pussycat, where have you been?
I've been to London to see the Queen.
No, we didn't see the Queen, but she was home.
Yeah.
In fact, she was opening Parliament one day.
And blocked off the whole section.
Yeah,
the only way we could Westminster.
Yeah, the only way we could escape from our hotel to the rest of London was to take the underground. It was the only way out because traffic was at a standstill.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a fine old time and we have lots of good.
I like the subject you had and I like these restaurants a lot.
Good.
That you selected for this show.
Good.
And it's the theme of it is French chefs in London and their new adventures or their new ventures.
There we go. So first up, one of our very, very favorite French chefs, in fact, probably one of our very, very favorite people in the whole London dining scene, is Bruno Loubet. And we caught up with him at Bistro Bruno Loubet, which has been open now, amazingly, for 3 years. But we talked mostly to Bruno about a new diet that he's on and a new venture called Grain Store.
Well, it's new. It's not a diet so much as it is a lifestyle. And I think he's just always up to the minute in knowing what and how we all like to eat. Anyhow, I loved the food we had at Bruno Loubet. How long has it been since, not even a year since we've been here at this really beautiful bistro, right? And it's beautifully decorated. I mean, it's a great ambience. It's just about what anybody would dream of having as a bistro. But chef proprietor, Bruno, you actually decided to expand out a little bit, right?
Yes, we decided to open a new restaurant. But we've been open for 3 years now. But so as London going, it's quite a long time, actually, without doing anything else.
3 years, is it?
Three years.
And it's not called Bistro Loubet. It's called...
Yeah, the new restaurant will be called Grain Store.
Grain Store. Explain why.
Well, because it's on the Granary Square, which is an old place in London where all the grain used to come to London before they are dispatched to go to do the beer or the flour or anything like this.
Right.
And also, the building also used to have all the carriage coming in with the grain to London.
And in
these buildings.
Did you find old bits of grain lying around?
Not grain, but it still have the thing where they used to tie the horse on the wall and this kind of thing. A building with a lot of histories. An area with a lot of histories, actually.
Bruno, it's in a part of town that most people wouldn't even think of going to a restaurant, never mind opening one. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it used to be like that, actually, because now King's Cross is... the development there is the third or the fourth biggest development in Europe at the moment. And it's the City of London and the government and a lot of private investors put a lot of money there to develop. And everybody believes it's going to be the trendy area in London, if it's not already, you know. Because actually, a lot of big companies have moved there, a lot of designers. And don't forget, this is just at the back of King's Cross Station, which is really basically the window of the door of Europe, because all the TGV, the fast train coming to King's Cross from the continent.
So that's where
you know
comes.
They cross the channel and come to the continent to King's Cross.
Well,
so,
there's a lot of activity.
So it's also
in
a
King's
strategic
Cross, yeah.
Place, really, you know, and there is a lot of activity. For example, Google Europe will have the office there for the main office for Europe. And there is a lot of big companies moving there. Jimmy Oliver is going to have his head office there as well, which is funny as well, opposite to us. And so on. And a lot of newspaper already are around there. And so it's really an active area, full of life.
Well, how long have you had your eye on this spot?
About 3 years.
That long?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. When we opened here, we were prospecting. And Mark Sainsbury and Michael Banyan, my two partners here, were all prospecting and looking at the next good area in London, basically. And maybe a year later, this project come along, and so we take it.
No, yeah, you said a year ago you couldn't talk to us about it.
Yes, because it's been a long negotiation, you know. We've been approached by the developers as a favorite operators, but it was all, a bit of a secret until everything was, completely done. And now it's all done, and we're building, and actually I'm moving in the kitchen in 2 weeks. That's why I'm a bit under pressure.
How big is this place? How many square feet?
It's big. I mean, we will have 140 seats in the restaurant.
Oh, that's good. Yes, and a nice size.
Nice size. Yeah. 60 on the terrace outside as well. We have a nice terrace.
But as the weather in London, that's it.
I was going to say, as you can imagine, in London, it doesn't mean much. 60 cover outside doesn't mean much. You know, it could be good if you have a good summer, but it could be also, really bad, and we're already much used to.
And what is the theme of the decor? The grain?
Oh, the decor. Well, we don't want to make things too obvious, but I think overall,
more subtle than the old grain.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so the overall, the idea was to make a place a bit industrial and have the kitchen getting in the restaurant. We want the place to to breed food, you know, to be a place where people sit and look around and see a lot of different ideas, and the food is everywhere. And so that was the idea, to bring the food in the restaurant. That was the main
and
idea.
And the chef served.
We're going to try to do that a bit, like to have chefs bringing dishes, not always, but sometimes bringing some dishes on the table and explaining what they are. Not too much, because sometimes it could be overdone, I think. Also, we have a section in the restaurant. For example, the pastry is actually in the restaurant, not in the kitchen. So we will, we have somebody, working in the restaurant doing plating his pastries, and sometimes we have some trays of pastry going through the restaurant with the chef bringing to him and everything. So it's all this activity. For us, we want to be feel a bit of a workshop kind of thing, so you sit and you're surrounded by food, by people enjoying. Everywhere you look, there is something a bit quirky and a bit different. So
I think that's what people want right now.
It's nice and relaxed place where you're supposed to enjoy yourself. Yeah. Not some people say, in their restaurant, they want people to have a great experience and everything. But sometimes it's a bit too serious. The idea is not to make it too serious. It's all about enjoying yourself, having great food, looking around you, always discovering something in the decor, in the food, in the people walking around, in clientele, in everything, just an easygoing place.
And this reflects also a different food concept or concept in food. It's what I call flexitarian, but that's, you're just viewing it as less meat-centric and more...
For me, I see it as a natural evolution, not only for myself as a chef and as a 51-year-old man who can't digest as well as you used to.
How much did you lose?
I lost 10 kilos in the last 4 or 5 months by changing.
That happens when you're putting in a new restaurant anyhow.
Well, when I open, I probably lose another 10 kilos. Yeah. No, I just decided to change a bit my diet and eat less meat. I'm still eating meat and fish and, animal products.
But
less of that and much more vegetables and fruit and seeds and flowers and herbs, all these kind of things. And which make the food lovely, delicious. And also it's, as a chef, it's kind of exciting because you have to change your mind a bit. Because, for me, it's easy to say that now. 20 years ago, I wouldn't say the same thing. I think, chefs, you are a bit, it's in your DNA, or you are programmed to think meat,
in the center
veg,
plate.
Sauce. And your menu is usually based around these three things. That's how you build your menu. So you say, okay, I'm going to do, maybe a roast guinea fowl with light jus with tarragon, and then maybe some spring vegetables. Because last year we did with spring cabbage or something, potato spring cabbage, say. But you always go around the same concept of having your meat, your veg, and your garnish, and your jus or your sauce. And for me, it's more exciting when you start to think about the veg to be the star, the garnish to be the star. Then you have to scratch your head and start to think differently, because you better be good, of course, because at the end of the day, food has to be good, whatever you do. But then to make it attractive, to make it more interesting, you have to use different technique, different veg, different association of flavors, to use the spicing and a lot of things. So suddenly you have to look at in a completely different way. You don't look at your meat, your sauce, and your veg anymore. Now you're looking at maybe you want to do a dish with aubergine. You're looking at an aubergine, and then you're looking at five different kind of aubergine and say, okay, this one is really good to roast and to make a puree, to make like a caviar aubergine, because it's soft and creamy. This one is an Asian one. It's very compact, very dense. The flesh is very dense. That's perfect for pickling. You may do a dish with two or three different textures of aubergine, yeah, with two or three different aubergines.
So it's more exciting, I think. And you're exploring all these vegetables. You have to be learning a lot, too.
Yes.
You were talking with Anne just before we started the interview. She said cauliflower is the new star. And you said, I cooked cauliflower for somebody just the other day.
Yes, yesterday for a famous journalist here in England, Jerena. I done it in little cocotte, and I said I cooked it with goat buttermilk and caraway seeds, in English, caraway seeds. And I cover and cook slowly. And then at the end, I just open the pot and leave the remaining liquid at the bottom to evaporate. So you hardly have anything, just it's a creamy liquid, liquid at the end, because it reduces down and become quite creamy. And the cauliflower is completely soft, but still hold together, beautiful. And you melt in the mouth and you have this beautiful flavor with buttermilk and the caraway, really nice.
And what was the critic's verdict? He liked it?
Yeah, he said it was excellent, actually.
Excellent.
And on the menu, I plan to say, because he want to have a bit of a preview, some dishes of the...
Sure.
And on the menu, I'm going to serve this with actually sauteed duck heart.
So yes. I like duck heart.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very juicy.
You know what I like that I have a hard time finding, so I guess other people don't like it, gizzards.
Oh, I love gizzards.
I love confit. Gizzards. You can't find
beautiful,
them.
Yeah.
I mean, usually.
Yeah, confit gizzards are beautiful. We use them quite often here, actually.
Two important questions, possibly three important questions. Mm. Is the grain store, is it going to be open all day?
Yes, open 11 in the morning for the bar. So people can sit and have a drink or an aperitif or
starting at what time again?
11 in the morning.
11?
Yeah. Okay. But that will be for the bar. The food will start at 12 and going up to 11 at night.
And serving continuously?
Yes. Of course, we will have the two-man service, lunch and dinner, and afternoon probably will be a few snacks and people having a few drinks or something.
Great. And does it have a separate website?
Yes, separate website than here. It will have.
And it will be called?
Grain Store.
The Grain Store.
I've been told not to say The Grain Store, it's Grain Store. But each time I say Grain Store to somebody, sorry, it make me repeat until I say The Grain Store,
okay.
So I don't know.
Why don't we spell it out? It'll be G-A-R-A-I-N.
G-R-A-I-N.
Yeah, G-R.
I said G-R.
No, yeah. You didn't.
I wasn't pronouncing my R's well enough.
Grain Store.
GRAINSTORE.com or .co.uk.
Probably, yeah. I don't know. I'm useless with that stuff. That's not my field, I'm useless with that.
Google it, yeah.
Or the other, they're doing it.
And when is the official opening day?
It's going to be the first week of June. So we're going to have a busy summer.
So go there, folks, after you get off the...
Eurostar.
Or after you get off the train coming from Scotland or from Yorkshire, my part of the world, to King's Cross, you'll be able to find your way there easily. Now, let's not forget... good old Bistro Loubet, where we are right now.
Yes.
Oh, which is exquisite.
We had one of the best French meals we have ever had a year ago. Have you changed anything?
Not much. The only thing we changed is, again, a bit of an evolution. Instead of having the natural setup on the menu, starter, main course, dessert, what we changed, that's not long ago, only a few weeks ago, to success, actually, everybody liked it. We extend the starter. So we have 12 or 14 different starters. I think 4 or 5 of the starters are also double as main course. And we also have a few main course as only main course. But the idea behind that is now people can... Because what we find out after 3 years, we realize that quite a few people for lunch were having only 2 starters. And maybe sometime a dessert.
We do that
sometimes. Or a main course and a dessert, eating lighter, so much.
We have been known to eat an entire dinner, the two of us, off the starter menu having... 6, 7, or 8, because they're so tempting.
Yeah, well, so that's obviously the trend. It's obviously the way things goes in London. So we decided, it's what the customer wants, and that's been going on for a while now. We should adapt ourselves, and why going on to do what people don't really want? So we look at it, and we decide to do like this, because that makes obviously more flexible. People can now have maybe 3 starters, so they try different dishes. They may have a few nibbles and then a few dishes. They may have a sharing on the middle of the table, put everything and table of 4 or 5, 6, whatever. They just share on the middle of the table. And then after they have the main course, they share as well. Or they may share only the starter and then they have their own, each one of them have the particular main course. Basically, it's open to flexibility. So people can eat the way they want. This is the same style of food. We haven't changed anything, but we open a different way of eating. So people can choose to share, not to share, to have small portion, big portion, whatever they want, or the classical setup, starter, main course, dessert, as you always been. Or so it's just to make it,
fresh, modern, what people want.
That's what people want. I mean, you have to listen to your customer. You can't ignore your customers.
Yeah. Have you been over to Eric Chavot's new place?
Yes, I've been once, actually.
We were there a couple of days ago.
Yeah?
Oh, he's, wow. Huh?
Yeah, it's obviously a great chef.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to figure out still what he puts in that asparagus, but it's a knockout. It's my favorite dish so far this visit to London. Asparagus.
Well, you're also stealing the tiger prawns off my plate.
Yeah, that's true.
it was food to fight over.
Yeah, that's good.
Just like Bistro Loubet.
Yeah, you know, at night we fuller every day, basically. And lunch is it's a bit up and down, to be honest. You know, sometimes you're doing incredibly well, sometimes not so well, sometimes okay. So it's kind of a bit of a yo-yo in French, I don't know. You know, roller coaster, you say in English, a bit of a roller coaster. But that's London, you know, London at the moment. A lot of things have changed lately, you know, in the last couple of years with the recession and, you know, the climate, you know, the financial climate and everything.
Yeah.
So everything is a bit different. That's why actually start to look at what people really want. And funny enough, we have an effect straight away because actually after a couple of weeks, the lunch already go up. So you see that what was missing. People want to have a bit more at lunch. They want to choose the way they want. They don't want to sit and have a proper meal. And maybe they feel it's a bit boring in a way, you know. So they want something a bit different.
And they're talking to their friends.
Yeah, they're talking to their friends.
Oh, you got to go to Bistro Loubet. Yeah. It used to be really good. Now it's even better.
Yeah, I mean, I like to believe that.
I'm sure you're right.
Well, Bruno, as I started to say several times, we wish you much success in your new place. And also continuing success here at Bistro Loubet.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Merci.
And we'll be back with an exciting new French brasserie right after the break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. Here we are, just going from one wealth of talent to another wealth of talent. This wonderful Eric Chavot, who I had not met before. You hadn't either, I don't believe.
No, he's been around the London dining scene with his own place. He's been around the world.
Right.
Cooking. Really, a fine fellow. 100% personality. Perhaps a trifle mad. I think everybody sort of thinks that too. But boy, this man can cook.
Why do they think he's mad?
Because he is.
Because he's fun.
And I think he would admit to that himself. But
food was superb.
He's cooking up a storm at an establishment that is new in his hands only for about 6 weeks.
That was amazing too.
Yeah, go there before it becomes too popular, guys. That's all I can say. And it's called a brasserie, and we won't go into the distinction between a brasserie and a bistro. We'll just say go to whatever it is Eric Chavot is running at the corner of Conduit Street and New Bond Street.
Well, I've always known that the French provide good chefs, romance. Now I understand they also provide a great deal of humor. You have a lot of humor in your veins, Monsieur.
Well, everybody keep telling me I should be on stage, but this is my stage. This is because you can't take yourself too seriously.
Okay, well, now let's clarify. We're at Brasserie Chavot, and we're talking to the chef patron, Eric Chavot. And Eric, you haven't been in business very long here, have you?
Well, I haven't been in business very long in that spot. I've been in business very long.
For a long time.
For a long time. I was 14 and a half when I started.
And where did you start?
I started back home in my little village back in France, near Arcachon, where I was born and bred. And you saw the pictures near the seaside.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I would never have left.
I never left. Because, as I told you earlier on, I can't go back tomorrow. It takes me an hour and a half on the plane. So every time I feel a bit blues or something, I just jump on that plane. It doesn't matter if it's winter, it doesn't matter if it's summer. And it's always green. It's pine trees all the way from Arcachon all the way to the Pyrenees for 200 miles. So, and we got the biggest sand dune in Europe. So you go to that pile of sand with 112 meters, you sit your backside on it, You got the sea on one side, the green tree on the side, and I can tell you, after climbing that, that's it. The world is your oysters.
Well, no, you have a sterling career record here, but you've won just about everything, haven't you? Over the years, you've cooked with great chefs. Briefly tell us some of the outstanding experiences.
Well, the first one I want to tell you is Mr. Lai back in Arcachon, because without him, after, you know, I was an apprentice for a couple of years, and at such an horrible time, I was quitting. Didn't want it to be a chef. Tried to go in the army, because in those days, military service was regulatory. You had to do it. And my dad was in the army for 23 years, so you definitely had to do it there.
Uh-huh.
And but when I was 16, somehow I managed to shot my toes. So there are, yes. Look, couple of them missing.
Oh,
that was my army career finished before I started. So age 17, and nothing left. I left school. Didn't want it to be a chef, and no army, so, because in the army I wanted to go back to college, blah, blah, blah. Then a friend of mine said, Eric, you got to go to that little fish restaurant called Two Steps from the Sea. I spent 3 months, I never wanted to go home. I just, at the end of the service, I just wanted more and more. The gentleman, Mr. Lai, was 58, his sous-chef, Philippe, was 32, three of us doing 300 covers.
Wow.
Okay, and we had two gentlemen doing the seafood platter as well, and it was family. And I never turned back since. Then I went to do a little winter season very quickly in Courchevel, not knowing, you know, and I wrote to Paris. I wrote to those big brasseries in Paris. I wanted to go to Paris. You know, the typical little story. I'm sure you got that in America back home. You're from a little village. You want to go to the big town.
Everybody wants to go to New York or San Francisco.
Everybody wants to eat it big. So my little dream, I said, I wanted to take my little bag. I wanted to leave my village. Okay, So I wrote to about 20 restaurants. And in those days, because they didn't have any computer, there was no email, there was no mobile phone in those days. So you had to write a letter by hand, and you had to send an envelope with a stamp.
I remember stamps.
So I sent those letters, and everyone at the time sent me back the letter saying, thank you, but no.
You actually said that you sent them a stamped addressed envelope for them to reply to.
Yes,
you.
Yes.
Otherwise, you wouldn't get a reply at all.
Yeah. Now it takes, you know, now you either send an email and you get these threats, or you go through HR. I like to think I was born in the wrong era. Sometimes I think the world is going too fast. We go to embrace, I'm sure the two of you guys, all of the modern technology is fine, but sometimes we forget where we come from. We forgot about the basics of life.
You got to unplug from time to time.
You need to have a step back. So, from Mr. Lai, from Courchevel, I found a little job in London, and I arrived in London 1986. I was 18 years old, couldn't speak English. I had £20 in my pocket. I just had a name, Philippe Ducot. White Hotel, Bayswater. That's it. And the gentleman, Monsieur Ducot, was the head chef for my little hotel in the White Hotel I was going to go and work, was waiting for me at the wrong terminal in Heathrow Airport.
Oh.
So I was left by myself for 2 hours, not speaking English, doing what the hell, you know. nothing, no address, nothing.
Oh,
you know, I went to the information desk. I'm like, well, I can't even call my parents. I don't speak English. So somehow, I managed to go and grab a taxi. I showed the taxi driver, this is it, White Hotel, Bayswater. He said, yep. And I looked, 1986, 4th of April, 1986. I just looked at the meter. I had £20 in my pocket, nothing else, no credit card, nothing. And I looked at the meter, £1, £2, £3, £4, £5. And then you could now, try to do it now, Heathrow, Bayswater, £14. I was so happy.
Oh, my.
I saw White Hotel. I don't even know if it was the right hotel. It's just a White Hotel, Bayswater. He could have dropped me anywhere. Such a gentleman, I gave him the £20. You know, that's it. I got no more money. That's it. And then I opened the door.
But you knew you had a job.
I had a job.
And you went on from there. You worked with everybody.
And then from there, 8 months later, that career I wanted to start in Paris. I started in London. Answered an advertising for Mr. Kaufman in the Old Town Clare in Royal Hospital Road.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my life, and the beginning of my new, beautiful life. It was my life, forget your little village, forget the things, forget food on platters. I met them, you know, one of my great mentors, you know, and I worked 4.5 years with him. I did 2 years, left him, then I moved to Raymond Blanc, another 4 seasons for 2 years, come back to London, went to Marco Pierrot for 6 months, went back to Mr. Kaufman for 2.5 years.
But you like the temperamental types.
It was the food. As you say, the temperamental. At the time, you think it goes with the job. They're your elders. You've been brought up to respect your elders, so you think, okay, it is what it is.
But they must have just seen all the talent in you.
Well, the thing is, only the people who, at the end of the day, it's not work. When you spend that many hours, it's not work. I can't explain what it is. This is what I do. For me, I don't go to work. You've always said something, you said, you're so lucky because you find in life what you want to do. There's so many people out there that are in a job they don't want to do. But you got to pay bills and shit down there. I don't feel like I'm working. So it's easier for me.
Now, when did you did open Well, you were at the Capitol, which you got all these stars.
All the silverware. All the silverware you can get.
Yeah, and once you left, the restaurant lost everything.
It's only as good as your last meal, I would think. And but it was you know, 10 years. 10 years is a long time. I was just an employee. At the end of the day, I wasn't, you know, I didn't have shares. I didn't have, you know, it wasn't my business. I wasn't renting the space from them. So 10 years was a long time. And I turned, you know, and that year, after that year, my dad passed away. He passed, you know, it happens to everyone. You know, when you're little, you got that great expectation on your, if you look, you know, I was living in, I'm from a small village, from a very small family. So we were living next door to my grandparents. So every day on the way to school, you're going to say hi to your grandparents. You're going to say hi on the way back. Every Sunday, you eat with your grandparents and your uncle and your aunts. And you think the world works like that.
It was idyllic.
So you don't, you know. Yeah. So suddenly your grandparents, you know, pass away, then it's your dad. And I thought, well, I don't have anything to prove anymore. I'm 43. You know, I stayed so long at the Capitol as well, but, you know, my dad was in the army, as I said earlier on. He was in the army. And he liked that security of the job. You know, you get your paycheck at the end of the month and then you got that routine. Yeah. I don't do routine. Each service are different.
You're your plan, so I know.
For me, it's, I don't, because not two services are the same. You might have 10 covers the same day, you might have 100, and then you go to adapt yourself. And that's, for me, is the best. I never slept more than 4 hours, even as a kid, okay? Yeah. My mom said, you know, I'm hyperactive, okay?
That's call a it. Good thing to be for a chef.
I'm a little bit OCD as well. I mean, big time. Big.
I just like the plants. Now I can see.
See, right? There's nothing.
No, but you had your own restaurant that was well acclaimed in London not too long ago.
Well, we had,
and what happened?
No. Well, what happened is, well, my first place, so after we worked for those great chefs, Mr. Kaufman, Raymond, Marco, Nico, I opened my first place. I was 27, Street, Charlotte Street, entered the Chavo, where we gained our first Michelin star within 10 months. And what happened was the financial things. He wasn't making enough. I was the chef. My name was above the shop, and both the owner and Marco were the partners, pulled out.
Oh, my.
Okay, so you left to yourself to fend for yourself at the time.
That's
so
unusual, actually.
But I carried on for 2 years. I paid my staff, I paid a bill, I paid a taxman, and then I went to get involved with some, I had to find some of the directors, some of the partners, and I said, you know, like you said, you know, you never go in partnership with strangers, you never go in partnership with your family. It was a learning curve for me. It wasn't working, so it was time to move. Then and a little venture for 2 more years, Chavo in Fulham, different part of town. And again, and I knew what I wanted to do. I'd just been beaten, just done. I knew the thing wasn't working. It wasn't the food. Depending where you are, as you know, as a restaurant, as any business, is location. Do you want to open an ice cream parlor in the middle of North Pole? I don't think so. Okay, you want to go somewhere hot. It's the same thing with that. The part we went in Fulham was more for dinner, no lunch. So I said to my partner at the time, let's close for lunch. So you cut down on staff and let's concentrate on doing, no, I want to open for lunch. So then, of course. And then I found a house for 10 years at the Capitol where we did everything, you know. I went, and through there, I mean, I went through the Capitol. I met Vivek from the Cinnamon Club, Vivek Singh.
Uh-huh.
So I was part of the team when we created the concept at the Cinnamon Club. And look where Vivek is, you know. He's since then, he opened Cinnamon Club, Cinnamon Kitchen, Cinnamon Soho. So I got great. I went to Australia in 10 years. I went to Iceland. Every year I was doing a trip through the Capitol to represent the Capitol. I went to Italy. I went to Spain. I went to New York. I went all that for those 10 years. I had great fun.
But you got it out of your system.
System. Trust me. You know, you don't have your dad in the army for 23 years if you don't have a system.
Where were you just before this restaurant?
Well, I left the Capitol with no idea where to go. It was for once, it was nice. You know, little bit of money in the bank. My ex-wife is secure. I paid her, you know, the boys are fine. I got a little flat in London. I said to myself, I'm going to go and see my friend. I'm going to go and see Tom Kitchen in Scotland. I'm going to see
David. Tom is a friend of yours?
Yes. David, the Champignon Sauvage in Cheltenham. Michael Caine. So I was planning.
Oh, Michael Caine, you know him.
I were with Michael at the Manoir. See,
he's wonderful.
Look, the thing, I was very lucky to work for very amazing, great chefs and great little chefs as well, as you know, we were all team chef, the party and everything. And we stay friends. We might not see each other for a couple of years, but when we meet, we know. It's like you do get along or you don't get along.
So anyhow, so all of a sudden then?
All of a sudden, no job. All of a sudden, I'm doing a little pop-up on top of Selfridges with Mr. Kaufman for 10 days. 10 days became 2 months, not so successful. And then it's December. And I'm thinking, I'm going to take the month off. That's it. And I'm going to start looking for a job in January. It's, you know, that's it. We work very hard. Give yourself a pat on the back. Have a break for once. And then I get approached. F&B manager of Selfridges calls me. I said, you and yes. I said, oh, Eric, you know, Mr. Weston, they like to meet you. They did such a great job.
That's how you end up in Florida.
The next minute, yeah. Before I know it, I take, they got a little club. They need a hand. So I put, you know, it was to be 4 months. So 4 months, I'm thinking, you know, ask the ex-wife, ask the girlfriend, said, yeah. Well, you know, you got to check. They go to check, you know, this do the proper thing. Everybody said, Eric, 4 months, you can go. So I went on there 4 months, and 4 months became 2.5 years before I knew it. I did a good job. They said, can we come back?
What happened to the girlfriend?
Oh, no, she came to me. She came she became my wife. She came back, number two. Okay. We've been together for 12 years. So what happened? She came to see me once a month. She took all her vacation, so she had a good time. She loved it because she worked very hard in London. She's just a work colleague like me. And so she used to come 5 days or a long weekend once a month. So she had a good time. We did the thing. And while in Florida, we were planning with Mr. and Mrs. Weston to open either a brasserie on top of Selfridge or to find a site. So we did that. Okay, but, you know, we looked. But they're not restaurateur. They got Selfridges. They got Primark. They got back in Toronto, you know, they got what they got, Loblaws. So, you know, the billionaires, look at that, they're touching. See? You got tourists scrubbing a little rosemary down there. But they're not in a restaurant business. So they got time. They're going to do it, but I'm now 45. So I can't wait for the, you know, guys, I've got to get on with my life. So thank you very much. I had a 2 years contract, so we finished that. And I came back on the 5th of June. Came back here. Before that, I came back for a week. I did a trial for the Shard. You know, that glass building on the 31st floor. I did the trial. Yeah, for this. It's not my cup of tea. I did a trial, 14 dishes. I came back from Florida one weekend. 2 days of prep. I provided, you know, starter, main course, pudding. The owner was like, oh my God, you do pudding? I said, well, you're a chef. You got to do everything. It's not just in 2 days. I said, yeah. So I went back to Florida, packed my bag, came back here. And I went to help a friend, Joel Antunes. Joel Antunes.
Oh, see, we know him well.
Atlanta. Joel.
Why is he now in
Arkansas?
He's in Arkansas, which is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but in a little hotel, no? Is he in a little...
I don't know what it is.
It's in a hotel.
Yes, in a hotel called the Capitol. Okay. Called the Capitol. Okay.
Is it
not funny?
It really?
Yes. No, I still don't know why he's there.
Well,
last year we were here.
Yeah, he was at the embassy.
Yes.
Yes? So when I came back, because I know Joel for many, many years, because you know Joel, so
yeah,
he
sure,
used to be London,
yeah.
Then he went to America for 13...
He was
very.
Yeah,
13 successful years.
But Arkansas is like, no way.
Yes, but I think Joel is more American than his... Okay. His wife is American, and he loves it down there.
Okay.
And I think the country suits him fine. He loves it down there. So, anyhow, I came back here, and I gave him a hand for 2 weeks, while at the embassy.
Oh, okay.
And because one of my little sous-chef, Doga, is working with me now, who was working Capital, was when I left. We planned with Doga to pass it. Look, I go to Florida. When I come back, we look for a brasserie. But just at the time, going to give a hand to Joel. So he went to work for Joel. I came back. I gave them a hand for 2 weeks. And it's just the embassy is behind here. Just behind the building.
Yeah, right.
So I get a phone call from a friend of ours, Kirsty. Kirsty Stanley. She used to work for Dom Perignon for 13 years. And she's like my sister, you know, like that naughty sister I never had. And for 2.5 years, while we were in Florida, she Skyped me once or twice a week. She's the only one with my, you know, apart from my family, who called me. And then, so, hey, come, you know, I got a great space. Call the gallery next to the Westbury Hotel. They don't know what to do. So I came with short and t-shirt. I was outside around the 21st of June, just outside, beautiful blue sky, 9 o'clock in the morning. And I just walked in. They were finishing, I think it was a bit, yeah, I came at 9, and then I came back after breakfast, so I could see people for breakfast. So when I came back, I met the GM, or God, Group Operation Director. I met God, Stas. He's lovely. I call him Borat. That's for you, Mr. Stas. Yes, you know that. So I came here. I saw the mosaic. There was no floor
we're talking about. I wish this were television because it's really pretty.
Well, there was no garden outside. That garden wasn't here. So just imagine, you got just a plain facade from across the street, the beautiful red canopy, and you walked here. And those two big doors at the back, you can't see now because it's all French polish now. But the toilets were white doors. So the whole thing, to me, looked like a big public toilet. Beautiful mosaic. Well, you walk from outside, you got a long mosaic, and then you got two white doors left and right.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure. With a little blue thing, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously, guys? And I've been in London long enough to... it's like the Monopoly. You go around the board so many times, and you want to land in Mayfair. You want to land in Central Park. You want to land
it's
in Rue de la Paix.
It really is lovely.
I'm landing in Mayfair. I'm in Mayfair. There's a hotel. And look what you've got. So in my head, I knew exactly. I just, you know, there was some chairs, took out the chairs, took this purple curtain in my head, took them out, zip, 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 zip. And I designed, I partitioned the room. That's in my head. I didn't have the job. I just met the director, not the owner. I gave my vision very quickly to the director. So he come back tomorrow to meet the owner. I came back the next day. I just put a pair of slacks, white shirt, sat down with Mr. Collard and told him what I wanted to do. And he said, you got to keep the floor. I said, Mr. Collard, why will anyone remove the floor? Of course, you got to keep the chandelier. Okay, the French, I keep the chandelier. You got to keep the mirror. I said, guys, do I have to keep the whole restaurant? So we said, fine. And he said, what about the bar? I said, what bar? Well, I said, well, there's a bar at the back. I said, well, I don't intend having drink. Can't touch the bar. I said, I don't want to touch the bar. Can I use it I want to do the seafood and the salad. And he goes, Stas, I like that gentleman. So do what you've got to do to get him. And he walked away. And that was it. I started on the 7th of July.
Well, tell me this. I mean, just the fact that you were going to open this place caused such a stir with all the food people in London. Why? Their expectations were so high, or what?
The good thing is, look, as you know, Joël came back to London. Bruno, you know Bruno Loubet as well?
Yes.
Bruno,
oh, I love him. Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
But Bruno is like my big brother. You know, he's from Libourne. So he's from that side of Bordeaux. I'm from that side of Bordeaux. And I always looked up to Bruno. He's an ex-manoir, okay?
So, that's right.
You come back, it gives a story for the, you know, because when you used to be a chef 100 years ago, you used to be a slave in the bottom of the pit down there. Now it's fashionable and it's a big business. So it gives people to write. So I didn't think I was as big as Bruno or big as Joël, okay? So I had to Michelin star, so what, you know? And it's like, oh, Monsieur Chavot is coming back. But because it took us 6 months, and we closed the curtain, and we did behind you. We built
the excitement.
You just build the excitement, and everyone said, "Oh, so he's doing a Michelin again?" Because you know we had two Michelin stars. So I said, "No," and that's like, "Whoa, what do you mean, no?" I said, "Well, I'm not saying I'm not gonna have stars. Anyway, the stars are not up to me. What I'm saying to you people, I'm not doing appetizer anymore. I'm not doing tifo anymore.
Okay.
I just want to have fun. Am I allowed?" Oh, and I tell you what, I'm allowing myself to have fun, and this is what you're going to get.
But your reviews have been really spectacular. Let's talk about the food here, Eric. What are your highlights here? You do what you want to do.
I do what I want to do. Nobody tell us what to do on the menu. That's brilliant. I'm lucky enough to have Richard with me, who has been with me. Richard, Monsieur Ondier, he's been with me for 17 years.
Wow.
Okay. He was with me in Charlotte Street. He was with me in Fulham. Because he's from Normandy. Every time I do something, it's always, what about Richard? Is Richard with you? What do you mean you're going to Florida? What's going to happen to Richard? What do you mean you're opening your restaurant? Is Richard coming with you? Did you call him?
Huh?
So he's part of family. The same with Dogan sitting down there. So I had the core team to start with. So that's how we designed the menu. With things we knew. Okay, it's no point to try to be clever.
Well, if somebody wants to know what to eat here, what would you tell them?
Well, you eat everything. We create the menu so you got a little bit for everything for everyone. So one of the best sellers, and I'm going to shoot myself for that, is the soft shelf crab.
Right.
Okay. So as a Frenchman, I'm thinking, well, we got the crab mayonnaise because everybody, you know, we got the crab mayonnaise, but the soft shell crab by Miles. Miles, when it comes to main course, pretty average. I mean, there's nothing. The choucroute, you got days. One day is going to be choucroute. One day is going to be the venaison. One day is going to be the poussin. So last week I said to Richard, oh, let's get some more poussin. Oh no, chef, we only sold 2 for lunch. Yeah, bloody jinx me. We sold 20 in the evening. Okay? So, you know, the cod. When it comes to the fish, the cod sells, flies. And it's very much weather orientated. A bit dark tonight, we go meat. Little bit of sunshine, the tiger prawn, the sea bream flies.
What is distinctive about your cooking style?
Flavor. We always said, I always say it to the boys, we're not pretty, we're tasty. And that's...
Okay, you're not...
It's not about pretty food, it's about tasty food.
You're not that OC about presentation.
I don't think so. I'm OC about the cleanliness of the plate. I'm OC about the chicken is going to be always on the left, right, and so on like that. It's a baby chicken. I'm not going to roll it, make little ballotines in there. No more. I did it. So I want you to eat that baby chicken with your finger because it's finger licky good.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. No, you know, I see them, they tell, I say, guys, remove the knives. Just Ducking.
Yeah, this is a brasserie. Right? This is not three star. This is not Talleyrand.
I like to think it's a brasserie. I put the word brasserie to protect myself. I get the people thinking, you know, your food is. You're gonna see tonight. If the room is as full as, I mean, lunchtime was magic. You got all age. You got business young people. You got all people. You got families. You got kids, and all of that, all around, you know, it's all mixed, and they all start having a good time. And they start eating, and then they start stopping, and they start grabbing that guy. Saying, we need a concept to go back to the food with like semi-sharing. So I don't want to sell too many dishes for two because they never sell. You like the idea, cut the bread, but it doesn't work. To be honest, it doesn't work. But we serve it in cocotte. We serve it in little cassolette. Little dishes who allows you for your partner or for a table of four to hold. Oh, I'll have a bit of that, and they pass it on. They start sharing. They start. You see this one? He's so much more happy. Yeah, that's. Exactly. Me. When you see me go grumpy, just pour some water on me.
Listen,
I calm down.
Listen,
boy. Right. Where did I start here?
Eric's talking to the plants who just came back.
I'm talking to his
here.
Plant. He's talking to his plant. But look, you got... Look, guys. Right. The proof is in the cookie. Look.
Right.
But the plants don't have a microphone, so they can't say, ooh, that was good.
Just some more water. Thank you. Oh, don't pull me.
This is
going to
be a fun night.
Yeah. If you arrive about 5:30, 5:45, Eric might put you to work watering the plants.
Definitely. We like some water. Thank you.
Don't touch my olive, please.
Do you have also a wine program here?
A wine program? No, I don't have a wine program. I got beautiful sommelier. I got a beautiful Indira and a team of four people. The only thing I've got about the wine, part of the, we are linked to the raspberry, so we had to use part of their cellar on the classic side. But I utilize a good half of the wine are from Eric Nario from Cave des Pyrénées. And it's a biodynamic wine. Uh-huh. And some very quirky stuff.
Quirky, I love
that. Oh, yes. Oh, do you? So some of the stuff is a little bit too quirky for some people. But some of the time is terroir, okay? We got one of them.
Spoken like a true Frenchman from...
If you see Eric left to be here, he's just as bold as me. He's 10 years older, well, 5 years older than me. A little bit broader. Speak with a beautiful accent from the Southwest. And the way I talk about food, you talk about wine. So when you put the two of us together, you go a meal.
And a lot of theater.
It's a séance every time, every service.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this, and it's been a delight meeting you as well. I can't wait.
As you can see, we're gonna get ready. And we got a party for 100 tomorrow, so we're setting up for that.
Wow.
We got to clear the room, and that's breaking my heart.
I can see why.
When they came, I said, if you're going to have the party, it's got to be in situ. You know, I don't care. You know, you're not going to be busy in 2 months' time. I say, busy or not busy, you don't. We need to move every chair, every table. Why will you do that? Then the spirit of the room goes. But that's what they want. But that's the first and only. That's the only time I'm going to sell myself to the dark side. Because I'm going to touch wood. We've been so lucky. It's been 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and we are full lunch and dinner. Yeah. I mean,
why would somebody want to do that? That's what I don't understand.
And why would somebody else allow them to do that? Because But this is, that's not when we're going to go, and I'm going to go down there and finish with setting up with the boys and the girls. And we're going to give you a bit of the shower experience.
We look forward to it.
No, you're welcome. And that's us, you after dinner.
And we'll be back with a hotel dining experience with more than a hint of French right after the break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
And here we are again. Did I have a chance to talk about my bees yet?
You didn't have a chance to talk about your bees yet.
They're not exactly my bees, but I fell in love with them.
Yeah, she adopted them, listeners.
I adopted them.
Every time we went by, which was several times a day, and said hello to the bees, she said hello to the bees even after when they were sleeping. And even before they got up in the morning.
They have 200,000 of these, I believe.
I think you can tell this is an innovative establishment. for that reason. They have 10 hives, but three of them you can see morning and night as you stroll across the bridge between one part of the St. Ermin's, I guess we should say, St. Ermin's Hotel.
Right. And I met the head beekeeper.
You did, yes.
Who has a company. That's what she does with her company. And she tends these particular hives as well as hives all over commercial central London.
Yeah, and this is an interesting hotel. Very, very enjoyable, delightful property to stay at. We felt very safe because we looked out our bedroom window and there was New Scotland Yard, the home of the London Metropolitan Police. We were a 10-minute walk from Parliament Square, which I did a couple of times. And so it's a great place. It had lots and lots of kids. If you have children, if you want a children-friendly hotel, anywhere in the world, the St. Ermin's Hotel in Westminster in London has to be the place.
But they have a nice tea.
Right.
And when they turn down your bed at night, they leave not just chocolates, but...
Chocolate bees.
Chocolate honeybees on your pillow.
There you go. And the chef...
they're not real honeybees.
Well, hold on a second. Let's at least get the chef's name in. It's Chef Sylvain Chevreau,
yes,
who grew up in France, although he was born in the French colony out in the Indian Ocean of Mauritius. He cooks really wide-ranging food, which he'll talk to us about, of course, and we very much enjoyed it. This is also, incidentally, a property that has an American connection, which is sort of how we found it. Because the owners are American from Nashville, Tennessee, and they have a restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee called 1880.
Establishment.
But the Caxton Grill in the St. Ermin's Hotel in Westminster in London is in and of itself a fine dining establishment, and here's Chef Sylvain.
Well, we found a new place to visit. We're sitting in the restaurant at the St. Ermin's Hotel, if I said that correctly.
Yes, you have.
And we're talking to the executive chef, Sylvain Chevreau. And guess what nationality that is? Sylvain, what is the name of this restaurant?
The restaurant is called the Caxton Grill. We are part of the St. Ermin Hotel. So we are just the outlet there. We have currently two rosettes and working very hard on a third rosette.
Uh-huh. Now, the hotel, you have a whole dinner fine dining service, but you also service the whole hotel for just about everything, right?
Yes, we do. We do room service. We also go banqueting for up to about 250 people, and we've got a very nice bar as well.
So you're busy.
Busy, yeah.
Where did you come from? Obviously France. What part of France?
I originally grew up in, I'm originally from Mauritius. My family was originally from Mauritius.
Oh, really?
I moved to France, and I was born there.
What the?
And learned the classical French cooking there.
And did you have a series of important mentors that...
Yes, I did. The first hotel I worked was at the two Michelin star restaurants.
Which was?
L'Auberge des Tambliers.
Okay.
And it's a really in Chateau, which is a nice, prestigious place in France.
And very pretty.
And very pretty.
Yes.
So it was a good start for me to learn. And then I moved towards Jersey in Channel Islands.
Yeah, I just found out that the Jersey Islands are closer to France than to England. I'm not very strong in geography, even though Peter is.
You can actually see France from Jersey, so...
Right.
And they grow the world's best potatoes there.
They have the world's best potatoes, which we've got on the menus at the moment.
Oh, I just absolutely adore them.
So we're going to have Jersey Royals on the Jasper Grill tonight?
You've got Jersey Royals, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Well, you brought up something that we were going to move into to talk about. There's so many interesting things about this restaurant. I was going to talk first about your bee colony. Tell us about your bees and what else do you do on the roof here?
So we've got 10 hives of bees situated on a roof where we actually get the honey from. So the honey we use in some of our desserts, and also we kind of give them to some of our VIP guests.
And what can they move around? Are there important crops around here that they can
most
pollinate?
Of them, yeah, they go to Hyde Park, which is just across from here.
Uh-huh.
And we get, I think the beauty of this is we get a very nice flavor of the honey because it doesn't have just one type of flower. It's very, very much multi-flavored, which is quite unique in itself.
Yeah, well, to me, the big advantage is you're protecting a bunch of bees. I'm so worried about bees. I love bees. I just read a book that said they don't like purple. You don't wear purple with your
bees.
No, we
don't. And I think for us to have the option to use products that we make ourselves with the honey is great. It's a good opportunity. Flavors we get out of it is phenomenal. So it's nice things to have.
Now you said you were doing more and more things in house. Is that charcuterie and everything?
We're trying. There's a lot of things I want to try.
I bet you look raring to go.
So we've started with our own jams and our own chutneys. And next week we'll be starting our own smoked fish. So we're going to start with smoked salmon. And eventually I want to move on to doing any smoked product in-house.
Uh-huh. And that would include curing the meat?
Curing the meat is on. It's further down the line. Uh-huh. But that's something we'd like to do as well. However, the easiest thing to start is just smoked fish. It's a quicker process and it's a simpler process to do. So that's what we're going to start doing.
Because you can do fish in hours, right?
That's it.
Whereas with meat, you might be dealing with weeks and months.
Exactly. So the fish will only take like 2.5 hours to smoke. The whole process will take just over 2 days.
Now, you said that you like, I mean, I'm going to go through the whole route here. It's local, sustainable, identifiable, traceable. You do all the right things here, right?
Yeah, we try. Right. That's for sure.
It would be odd if you didn't, wouldn't it?
No, I think what you have to look at is we've got so many good products around us. Why go half across the world to get
something
else?
What are some
else?
Of your favorite products that you use?
We're just starting. We're going to have the asparagus. First British asparagus are fantastic. So that's coming on.
It really is good, yeah.
They are very good, so why not use them? So that's coming over. We had the first crop last week. All through May, we will have them. Jersey Royals started a month and a half ago.
Oh.
You don't get much better. So
they're dangerous. I can't stop eating them. They're just fabulous.
So why use product from other countries when we've got such a nice range of product?
Of course, you have a lot of good product in France. Do you get some of that, too?
We do a lot of product. We've got a lot of product in France. But in England, I find that now there's so much effort being done by growers and farmers to create and to bring new product. Then we have to use it.
Now, there's something else we were going to talk about. I noticed you have a whole section on your menu called From the Jasper. Could you tell us, what is a Jasper?
All right, the Jasper is an hybrid. It's like a barbecue into an oven. So we cook with charcoal, and the flavors you get from that is phenomenal. But the difference with a barbecue is the flavors actually stays within the oven. So you're not losing anything at all. The flavors you will get out of your steaks is great.
So it's sort of like the floor of the oven.
The floor
is a bed of charcoal.
The floor of the oven is a bed of charcoal.
And it's really almost ash.
So the temperature, once it's ready, you're looking at about 450 degrees. So it's a very, very high temperature.
Okay.
So you only cook meat. We don't do any fish in it because fish is just too delicate.
But what happens is all the flavor, all the odor that you want stays in the oven because
yeah.
The oven's enclosed.
That's it.
Whereas in a barbecue,
it just evaporates.
It escapes into the air. The wind blows it away.
It just evaporates in the air, and you lose half of the flavors. As opposed to now, you really get all that smoking charcoal flavor straight into your steak.
Now, there are so many details inside this little window from the Jasper. What does it mean? Vintage 35. Day aged ribeye, and then you go on to a 35 dry aged sirloin. I mean, people can order exactly what they want. Do they know what they're ordering?
We're here to educate people, so we're here to help them. So the 35 day process is the amount of time that the meat's been hung. We also had, normally most restaurants will do 28 days. However, we get the meat here for 20 after 28 days, and we age it an extra 7 days. So the flavors you get is a lot more pronounced. And again, it's a small thing. It's a little thing that we do to make the flavors so much nicer. And it's a respect towards the food So it's a nice process. We're trying to teach people what it's like to eat proper food.
Uh-huh. But
it's a lengthy process. It's, you need the patience. You need the understanding of the flavors. You need the understanding of why we're doing it. And unless you tell people this, they won't know.
Now there's a transatlantic connection.
Yes, there is.
The Caxton Grill and 1850. They don't have a Jasper.
No, they don't have a Jasper. However, it's the whole concept is both owners are from there, and they've got the first property there. And when they bought Saint Ermin's, they thought it would be quite nice to have the Caxton. And funny enough, the Caxton is also on Caxton Street, which is
strange. That's where the name came from. Now you know the origin of the name Caxton. Caxton is very important in British history because Caxton was a printer. So he was like, who were those guys from Holland who invented the printing press? You remember the Gutenbergs?
Gutenberg.
William Caxton was the British equivalent of the Gutenberg.
I didn't think you were going back that far.
Yeah, it's like 1400 and something.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so that's a nice piece of history I didn't know, and I'm glad to.
I'm sure that's probably the origin of the name of the street.
Yeah, he could probably tell you the origin of the Spotted Dick.
I think that's big. I think it's just a way of getting. So it's just a way of getting risque.
Street is there as well.
I mean, I think Caxton Street and his good old William Caxton. I'm sure that's where he came from. But he sure wasn't cooking on a Jasper grill.
Certainly not. I think the Jasper grill is quite a new type of cooking. I know in the States he's been used a lot. In England he's a lot rarer.
But it's going back. Whereas most young chefs I talk to all want to have these new toys in their kitchen with the sous vide and the, what are the, you know, yeah, all those
sous vide
toys.
Water bath, you name it. I think we like our toys. Chef, I must say, chef, we do like our.
So you have everything here.
We've got a bit of everything, and we just have fun. I think that's the whole point about the food is you can't be scared of the food. You have to make it honest.
How would you describe it? It's fun, okay, but if somebody wants to decide whether or not to come eat here, or at least wants to know what to expect, how would you describe your approach to food?
I would say we're very classic. We're taking classic dishes, but we're giving them a bit of a modern twist. So we do use those techniques such as the sous vide, the water bath, cooking food slowly, getting the flavors pronounced as possible, and using the freshest ingredients we can. So that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to be overcomplicated. We keep the flavors as simple as possible and as true to their own flavors as much as possible, really.
How about having some specifics of this?
I was going to put it. Because frequently on the menu, if it's a chef we really know or it's a chef we really want to know, we let them design our dinner for us. So you knew we were coming.
Yep.
So I'm guessing you were thinking about designing a dinner for us. Why don't you do that online?
Then
just
we would
tell
start.
Us.
Okay. I think the best thing is we'll start with scallops, Scottish scallops.
They're beautiful here, aren't they?
Beautiful. The way we cook them, you know, it's very nice flavors. Finished with a little bit of lemon juice. We use them with cauliflower and dates. So we do cauliflower puree and serve with fresh dates.
Wow.
It's a beautiful combination. We will also give you a salad of raw celeriac. And the way we do our celeriac is we cook it as a whole.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
So we don't peel it. We wash it.
Oh, you don't even peel it?
No, we don't even
peel
it.
You get all that dirt out of it. So gnarly looking things.
We just clean it as, you know, as much as possible, and we cook it and cook it into an oven. What you will get is a very earthy flavor of the celeriac, and then we just serve it with truffle.
Oh, that's nice.
So the flavors you get, a bit of sultanas.
No, that's really interesting because we cooked with celeriac. I think we only ever did it once. Anne said to me once, why didn't you do that? So I think I was making, was it chicken soup? And among the other root vegetables, I bought celeriac. And then I looked at how to prepare it and said you had to take the thick skin off.
That's it.
Well, by the time I had taken all the dirt and the thick skin off, I had half as much celeriac left.
You know, it's about understanding what you can do with those products. Those products are easily available for all of us, but it sometimes just takes the effort to do something a bit more special with them rather than trying to use products which are fancy and kind of everyone use them. celeriac for us here is, it's a beautiful salad. We make a beautiful salad out of it. And by the time all the feedback we get out of everyone who's tried it, it's just phenomenal.
I'm looking forward to it. So move on here. What else do we do? What about you?
You do need to have a steak from the Jospa, because you can't just come in and not try the Jospa.
Of course.
So that's what we'll do.
Okay.
And then I would suggest a bit of Manjac venison. Now, Manjac is a smaller type of venison. It's English. Well, actually, it was Dutch originally, but it's in England.
Really?
Yeah. It's a small...
It's farmed.
It's farmed. It's a smaller type of venison, but the flavors is absolutely phenomenal from it.
You have just so much here. I couldn't even pick. Well, you have lamb, cod, halibut, and the sides.
The side you look at what we're using, Jersey Royals, Chantenay carrots. It's all, it's beautiful vegetables. Again, we're not playing with it. We're not trying to do anything fancy with it. We're just keeping it as simple as possible. So when you get your Jersey Royals, it's just your Jersey Royal. We're not making anything out of it, which you'll think, oh, I've just lost the flavors.
I mean, that's exactly, I think, people want to eat right now. So you got that right, I think, for sure.
I think that is it. I think people do want to go back to their roots. They want to understand and feel that what they're eating tastes what it should.
Well, I'm looking forward enormously, Sylvain.
That's good.
And
I'm looking forward to cook.
We'll keep
for
talking
you.
About it as we go along.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, what do we say? In London, I guess we can whisper Vive la France.
You've got a lot of French chef here, that's for sure.
we have been joining a few, like Bruno Loubet and Eric Chavot.
Yeah.
They seem to be everywhere.
Well, it's one of those things. I think French cooking exports very well.
Great. Well, thank you.
Especially if you're using local
ingredients. Well, I'm sure London is very pleased to have you join your French colleagues here. And you've only been here a short time, so let us be among the first to wish you every success in doing that. And we're looking forward to dinning.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be back next week, same time, same place, with more exciting news of more exciting new restaurants in London. And until then, hello.
Bye-bye.